The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's Monday morning. This is the Early Line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Joe and Erie and Donnie Wrightside over the next 2 hours. What a weekend we have to go over. Joe and Erie, good morning on a Monday.
How are you, Donnie? What a weekend, holiday weekend it's been. It's quite exciting stuff here as we said goodbye to the college football regular season. Conference championships coming up, NFL Week 12. Dive in, man, on a Monday. I'm excited to be here.
Week zero felt like it was last week, Joe and Erie, and now we're into Ridiculous. Championship week, and we'll have some fun. We'll go over some college football a little bit later in the show, but let's get the 7-7 topics here, the hottest topics of the day. You stayed up last night and watched 73 combined points as the Philadelphia Eagles took down the Green Bay Packers last night.
Yeah, that was, I don't want to tackle, you tackle him. You don't want to tackle him, I'm not tackling him. Let him just run right through the end zone. That's good stuff there. 40-33, the best part about last night is the fact that Jordan Love didn't look terrible. So maybe that's good news for the Green Bay Packers moving forward. But the ground games, they were working last night for both teams, for that matter. Still have my question marks about your Eagles, man. That run defense is... going to be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here. Talking about running away and not wanting to tackle anybody. Does anybody want to stop Josh Jacobs? 33 carries for 229 yards. And also, let's also not forget this, 6 catches for 74 yards. The man was a one-man wrecking crew, Joe.
Yeah, he was also a game-time decision, Donnie. That was the hysterical part. We didn't even know if he was going to play or not yesterday, and then all of a sudden he shows up. I think the Raiders are happy he did play yesterday. And, when this Raider offense is clicking, Donnie, look out, people. They're coming for you here. Should be an interesting next couple of weeks to see if they can keep it rolling.
Talking about game time decisions, yes, he was. And we have a great program here on the Sports Grid Network with game time decisions. But how about game time decisions for those Rams? Who's in, who's out, who's playing? Allen Robinson, supposedly brought over as a big name free agent, now looks like he's dipping out for the rest of the season just with the rest of the Rams.
Yeah, it's we kind of knew that. We heard yesterday, too, that it looked like Stafford is being shut down for the rest of the year. And yeah, it's over. I mean, basically, I don't even know if they have any draft picks. I can't even say they're actually tanking for draft picks because I'm fairly certain they traded them all away anyway. So, there's no point in risking any more injury here to some of these key players.
No, they're certainly not at this point. We'll see where the Rams go from here because you're right. With no draft, hey, you stink this year. We got a number one overall draft pick. No, you don't. We're not sure they even have a draft pick for the next 10 years the way they traded him away, but they did get their Super Bowl. Flip it over to college football here, a top topic. How about this? SC now, number 4 in the college football playoff rankings, supposedly coming up, but just in the AP poll, they're there, and they'll probably be there Tuesday night as well.
They should be. This is all going to hinge on what happens with TCU taking on K-State for the second round there. Round 2 with between those two It's going to be interesting. You can't, and I'd love to say we can count out, just about everybody on that list, except for Alabama, because we know how the committee works, Donnie. We know they're never out. They should be out, but they're never out of it.
Yeah, they need to shake it up on Tuesday night here on the show and just throw Alabama at number four. Just have some fun here so we can really get after it and chop it up here. But Georgia 1, Michigan 2, TCU 3, USC 4 in the latest AP ranking series. We welcome in the radio audience here, SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. This is the Early Line. It's Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside going over the hottest topics of the day. And how about this? Let's not forget college football's evolution of 365 days a year. Just because Wisconsin is out of it this year doesn't mean they'll be out of it next year. Luke Fickell to Wisconsin, a massive move as they pick up Cincinnati's coach.
Yeah, a monster move. 57-18, two American Athletic Conference titles, a college football playoff appearance. He actually did it. The little guy made it into the playoffs last year after many people yelling and screaming. Huge hire for Wisconsin. He is a Rust Belt guy. You kind of, if Ohio State had lost another game or two there, he would have been at the top of that list. He may still be. It ain't over yet, but good hire by Wisconsin.
Really good hire there. And also, you're talking about maybe Matt Rhule over to Nebraska. So some big names changing spots here. We'll see how it plays out in the next year. College basketball was big over the weekend. How about Purdue? 75-56 pounds the Duke Blue Devils.
Zach Edey is a man among boys here, guys. He is an absolute beast. Usually, Matt Painter throws up all over himself, his teams against teams like this. But no, Zach Edey is a beast, and Purdue is for real. Another one of these teams, Donnie, we're gonna have to remember come bracket time, they're going to be there.
Absolutely. And how about this game over the weekend? Alabama Crimson Tide 103-101 over North Carolina. This took four overtimes. Caleb Love drops 34 points in the loss. My goodness, college basketball season started with a bang, Joe.
Yeah, and it ended with a review of a goaltending call, which actually gave Alabama the win here. But it was an absolute marathon trying to keep up with that while we were doing the late slate of games. Good stuff. Two-game losing streak for North Carolina now. What do they do next? Indiana. Ouch.
Yeah, exactly. Most of these teams don't really kick off their college, their conference season until January. Mm-hmm. But as long as they give us these big-time banger games like the Phil Knight Invitational, it's fun to watch to see some of these teams match up early season. But you know what? Matching up early season, not the case. We're going to flip it over to the NFL. Eagles, Packers coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL action on Sunday always provides the fun. That's what we're here to do here on the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Joe and Donnie. Let's get it started. And what better place to start, Joe Ranieri, than the city of brotherly love? Sunday night football, Philadelphia Eagles 40, the Green Bay Packers 33. Now, I got to tell myself, usually you see that final score, Joe, and you say, what did one quarterback go for 400, the other for at least 320, seven combined touchdown passes? Wasn't the case. They actually combined for five touchdown passes through three quarterbacks, but the running game was on fire for the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts, 17 carries for a quarterback, 157 yards. Miles Sanders, starting running back, 21 carries, 143 yards, and two touchdowns. The Philadelphia Eagles amassed 363 rushing yards, good for 7.4 yards per carry. Now, I don't know if you got fat and happy on Thanksgiving, but what was the deal with the Packers defense, Joe?
Yeah, what defense? You saw defense last night? I saw no defense. There were 11 guys on offense playing, but it was funny. When the Eagles had the ball, the 11 guys on defense disappeared. Now I think we're 22 straight games where a team will lose, giving up over 360 yards on the ground in the NFL history. So when you can't stop the run and your defense is an absolute sieve, you can't turn the ball over, Donnie. You've got to match them point for point. Unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers didn't do that early. A couple of turnovers there gave Philadelphia the opportunity to, guess what, run the ball and run it effectively. And when the quarterback is, was he the leading, was Hurts the leading rusher or was Sanders? Because they both rushed for what felt like 300 yards themselves.
Yeah, by the way, Jalen Hurts ran for 100-plus yards, Joe, in the first quarter alone, which was astounding. And we are handicappers, gamblers. Mm-hmm. We love to watch and have some fun. I can't imagine the tickets out that said, hey, you know what? Let me take the Eagles -2, -2.5 in the first quarter. I think they start out hot, go up 13-0, but end up losing the first quarter 14-13, only to see the Philadelphia Eagles drive inside the 5, and the timeout gets called after the big run by Jalen Hurts. And then they wait till the second quarter to punch in that touchdown. It's madness all over. But 27 first-half points by the Philadelphia Eagles certainly was going to be the doom of the Packers. Now, let's get to the Packers and their season, Joe Ranieri. 4-8 right now. They're at a crossroads here. They're not going to make the playoffs. I didn't think they were going to make it after, what, you know, 5 straight losses in a row. We saw the writing on the wall. But Aaron Rodgers leaves the game injured. Thumb, we know, isn't going to get any better, it sounds like, until surgery. Now, all of a sudden, dealing with a torso injury post-game, he said he thinks he'll be okay for the Chicago Bears, but we saw Jordan Love come in the game, 6 of 9, 113 yards and a touchdown there in the fourth quarter. Is it time to turn the page, at least this season, and see what Jordan Love has?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think we saw at least he was able to throw the ball last night effectively, right? He comes in, he hits Watson there for the touchdown to make it a one-score game late, and then guess what? The defense went on the field and couldn't stop anybody. Shocker. So there are a lot of holes in this Packers team. I think Jordan Love should get more reps. And I think, listen, you think Aaron Rodgers wants anything to do with this team anymore? No. Oblique injury, broken thumb, sprained thumb, whatever it is. I don't think we're going to be seeing Aaron Rodgers anytime soon lay it out on the field here and play hurt. For this Packers team, I don't think that's going to happen. Jordan Love era is probably beginning here.
Yeah, two bad interceptions last night, too, for Aaron Rodgers. Oof. So that's the Eagles now. 10 wins, leads the NFL. We'll see if they can hold on to that lead over the Minnesota Vikings with 2 losses here in the NFC. And as we said, Green Bay Packers look dead on arrival the rest of the way. But how about this? One would have thought yesterday a Tampa Bay win would have put the final screws in the Cleveland Browns season and all the hype coming back on Deshaun Watson. Not the case. 23-17 overtime victory for the Cleveland Browns. Nick Chubb punches a touchdown in late. 26 carries for 116 yards. But my favorite point about this game is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 5-6 on the season. We talk about, should be talking about them similarly to the Green Bay Packers. But this team is in first place, Joe.
It's gross on so many levels, this division here. But it was really gross. I mean, listen, Father Time, we all wondered when it would hit. Mr. Tom Brady defying all, defying gravity here. And the reality is, it's here, guys. Tom Brady is not the same guy. I watched him, and as it turns out, watched him in that game, Donnie, take the ball with just about 2 minutes left, up a touchdown, and all he needs to do is get a first down, right? Milks the clock down, that game is over. Tom Brady, as it turns out, in heading into yesterday's game, 218-0 when he is leading by at least a touchdown in the final 2 minutes of the game. What did he do yesterday? It was disgusting. Ends up getting sacked, going 3 and out, and having to kick the ball back to Jacoby Brissett. And then they gave big play after big play after big play. Finally, on fourth down, they couldn't get another stop. He scores that tying touchdown. We go to overtime, and Tom Brady looked about as anemic as humanly possible there. So I blame Brady on this one. Defense played well enough to get it done. Brady gave them no help there in the second half.
Yeah, I got to tell you, watching that Cleveland game too, because you look at what they can do well. You know, Amari Cooper at wide receiver, he got obviously a solid running game. Quarterback play was always the defense that was giving them issues. Defense stepped up yesterday, but David Njoku with a great one-handed stab catch there to force overtime in that game, and it wasn't up for the Buccaneers. But it's, again, we're talking about the Buccaneers at 5-6. Are we past the point of no return, Joe Ranieri, where we're saying to ourselves, oh, they'll get it right? Because outside of Leonard Fournette missing yesterday, and by the way, Rashad White looks like he's every bit as good as Fournette or electric can be. 9 catches out of the backfield for him also. They're healthy at the wide receiver position. They're healthy now at the tight end position. Running backs are going to be fine. They just still haven't gotten it together yet. Maybe it just looks like Father Time finally did catch up to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's what it looks like to me, because there's no way. That was not the Tom Brady we have grown up and watched here. You have a touchdown lead with 2 minutes to go. Brady gets the ball, and you're punting it back? That never happens. Absolutely never happens. And, you know, give the Browns credit. They usually figure out ways to blow the game at that moment, but they ended up getting it done. Fourth down, but they ended up tying it up and winning it in overtime.
You know what's crazy about this, too? You take a look at the NFC South right now in the picture. Obviously, the Bucs technically still in first place. They're 5-6. The Atlanta Falcons, we'll talk about their game in a little bit. They blew one to the Washington Commanders late in that game on an interception. They're 5-7. But how about the Carolina Panthers picking up a victory yesterday, go to 4-8, along with the Saints at 4-8? This is a terrible division that the Bucs probably figured, if you would have said, hey, midway through the season or about three-quarters of the way through the season, second place is going to be 5-7. You're walking away with this division quite easily, even though I still think the Buccaneers technically are the best team in the division. They've got a fight on their hands here. Is there any way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't win this division in your mindset here, Joe?
Congratulations. You're the best team in a division that blows on so many different levels. Who are you beating? Congratulations, Bucs. But to tell you the truth, nothing about what I saw there. I can make the argument Carolina is playing better than the Bucs right now. And what we saw, that version of Carolina playing for Steve Wilks, I don't know why you just don't give him the job at this point. But I do think it's far from an easy ride for the Bucs. Just hand them this division. Would not at all shock me if one of the other teams, as terrible as they are, overtake them and walk away with the crown and make the playoffs here.
It's going to be one thing to watch here for the Buccaneers because, you know, signing Tom Brady and having that veteran team, it looks like in 2023, that cap situation is going to get really ugly. Are we seeing maybe Brady taking those final steps moving into the booth, or does he even ride it out anymore here for a season or two with the Bucs?
Any more losses here, and does Brady want to be the guy that makes the playoffs winning, what, 7 games? Like, he don't want to be that guy. He doesn't. Walk away.
No. Yeah, get to the booth, make that big money, relax, enjoy the rest of your postseason career, as we like to say. But by the way,
enjoy the single life.
Talk about it. Yeah, enjoy the single life here, at least if he is single at this point. Who knows? Tom Brady out there. Who knows what that guy's doing? But this next segment coming up, we're going to talk about the Bengals, but also I'm going to yell at the Dolphins, a double-digit victory, and I'm not happy, Joe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here, hour number one on a Monday morning on the Early Line, SiriusXM channel 159, right on the Sports Grid Network. It's Joe and Donnie. We are talking Bengals football. Gutsy performance. Loved everything I saw. Because if we set the table for this one, the Bengals end up winning 20-16 over the Titans. You came in here, no Ja'Marr Chase, no Joe Mixon. The Tennessee Titans here, 7-3, looking to take a stranglehold on their division. And the Bengals walk away with the victory. Why? Because their players stepped up to the table. Joe Burrow, 270 yards, one touchdown, no interception. But also, T. Higgins, 7 catches for 114 and a touchdown. A number two wide receiver that can masquerade as a number one whenever you need him. And also, let's talk about Samaje Perine. 17 carries for 58 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Added 4 catches for 35 yards from yesterday. This is the Bengals team that I was waiting for. A team that went on the road, you know, roughly a pick'em scenario situation. Down a couple key players. Got out a win against a good Titans team, Joe.
Yeah, no, very nice Titans team, one in which should have won that game. And the problem was they certainly looked pretty decent in the first half. That I think it was tied 10-10 going into the half. Yeah. It was going to be a real dogfight. I think we all thought that. But Derrick Henry averaging just about 2 yards a carry is not going to get it done for the way that I believe Todd Downing is the offensive coordinator there. And that was about as plain as vanilla, a offensive game, play calling wise that I have seen in a long time. And they didn't take any shots at all in order to be able to get the ball down the field. And it ended up costing them in the end because they just kept hanging around the Bengals. And then in the second half, they were able to take advantage of T. Higgins against that secondary. And he made those guys look like you know, like it was he was playing against the JV squad with those secondary, the secondary of Tennessee. They got burned a few times in that second half, and then ultimately that's what cost them. But they should have had a chance to win this game, Donnie, except for, you know, it was a field goal there by Cincinnati, yes, the last bit of scoring in just under 2 minutes, and they ended up roughing the snapper. This Vrabel's teams are a lot of things, but they're usually very disciplined. My goodness, how do you end a game on such an undisciplined call like that? So they deserved to win the game. Cincinnati deserved to win it, but not what you would have expected from the Tennessee Titans yesterday.
Yeah, by the way, bringing up that call, too, because it's not as if it was like a pass interference. Like, hey, it was a tough play, contested. Right. I got him a little bit early. Like, you're taught, like, where you line up, don't hit the center. Bowls him over, an easy call, which ended the game. Would have made the Bengals go up seven, but you're right. The Tennessee Titans would actually have a chance to tie that game. And I got to tell you, like, I see Ryan Tannehill, like, 291 yards passing. And I don't know where he got him from, obviously, that long pass to Derrick Henry. But if I see one more Titans, you know, third and nine, where we throw a slip screen for 5 yards and punt as our best play out here, I'm going to lose my mind. But that's what the Titans do. Half the time I look at it and say, how do they win so many games? They look so non-effective on offense. And how about this? Derrick Henry, 17 carries, 38 yards. Credit to the Cincinnati Bengals for certainly shutting down the run game and winning that game on the road. And then you look for maybe Mixon coming back, maybe Jamar Chase coming back in a massive game against the Kansas City Chiefs up on the docket for them coming up here. Now, let's get to the Miami Dolphins. Might need extra time here, maybe an extra hour to go over this. So, Donnie, what's wrong here? 30-15 win. Dolphins easily cruised by the Texans. They had a 30-0 lead at the half. Let me tell you how my day went here. I needed Tua Tagovailoa to throw two touchdowns in this game. He got one early in the first quarter to make it 10-3. He didn't get another one the rest of the way. Secondarily here, I had the Miami Dolphins, Joe Ranieri, to score more than 3.5 touchdowns, which means I needed four touchdowns. They had three at the break. They ended with three. They scored 30 in the first half. They scored none in the second half. Tua Tagovailoa played one series in the second half, and the Texans were mounting comeback after comeback. And all I kept saying was, put Tua back in the game. Not because it was right for the Dolphins, because it was right for me. Look, the Dolphins were ultra impressive, and I know the 49ers are coming up on deck for them next week. But help a brother out, yo. Don't take the foot off the gas pedal. I needed some cash.
Dude, listen, you weren't alone. There were a lot of guys that that were looking for the prop betting market on a lot of those bets, and it stinks. But the reality is, Mike McDaniel, he made the right decision prior to the half. Tua took a couple of shots. I'm going, you can't keep him in this game. And then he lost his left tackle there, his protector. Armstead ends up going out with a pectoral injury, and now they're flying from that side there, the defense of Houston. I'm going, you got to get him out of here, because the last thing you want to do is in a 30-0 game, Donnie, right? Say, how was the game? It was great, except we lost our offensive tackle, and oh yeah, Tua is out again because he's taking unnecessary hits in a 30-0 game. So I get why he did it. It stinks, but they were in at no point in jeopardy of losing that game ever. And I was more impressed with the Dolphins defense because that's kind of been the weaker of the two, right? We know the offense can drop 50 on you. But it was the defense I've been a little worried about. That was an impressive showing yesterday on that side of the ball. If they catch up to the offense, watch out. The Dolphins are coming for you here. We'll have a pretty good test this week against the 49ers.
Yeah, this Dolphins team also, like, you threw Tua Tagovailoa. I know he had the one series in the second half. I forget what he had at the half. Let's just say 275 yards. That also included a defensive touchdown and also a drive that started on the 3-yard line, which is a quick handoff to Jeff Wilson. I mean, they are a machine on offense and so much fun to watch. But I would have loved to watch Tua for 60 minutes of this game. I don't know. The Dolphins hang 65 points, and he cruises over everything. Just one of those anomalies where you think you get the game right. It's like, now what is going on out here in the second half? But a good win for the Dolphins. Big showdown next week with the 49ers, as we said. Now, how about this game? I was kind of upset last week with the way the Jets handled their quarterback room. Now, granted, you say to yourself, well, What do you mean? And the Jets won 31-10. Nothing is wrong with the quarterback room. I get it. But Zach Wilson, I thought, would have been the perfect spot to let him go and try to redeem himself against the Chicago Bears. But yesterday, looking at this game, Joe Ranieri, the rain coming down, it would have been very easy for the Jets to keep the football on the ground, maybe eke out a win against the Bears and move on. I got to tell you, Mike White was really good yesterday. All of a sudden, balls were on target. Wide receivers are making catches. Yak yards are out there all over the place. One of the more impressive performances I've seen yesterday was Mike White in the face of, hey, maybe Zach will get back in there. I'm not so sure about it this year, Joe.
Well, a couple of things there. Number one, if Zach, I can assure you, Zach Wilson goes in that game yesterday in those conditions, he's not going 22 of 28 for 315 and three touchdowns. I can assure you of that. But number two, I think what happened, Donnie, is that I think the locker room is done with Zach Wilson. And I think Saleh would have stuck with him had there not been as much pressure from certainly guys going, hey, we want to make the playoffs here. I get we've, you know, he's our franchise quarterback, but that locker room has turned on Zach Wilson. And I'm telling you now, after that performance yesterday, did you know Elijah Moore still plays for the Jets?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you even, have you seen him? Did you? I mean, Donnie, I watched him complete a pass to 10 different New York Jet players yesterday. Everybody got involved in that game on the offensive side of the ball. Why? Because Mike White was the quarterback. With that kind of performance, and I know it was against the Bears defense, but the reality is the locker room is behind Mike White, and there is no scenario short of an injury that I see in which they can just turn around now, insert Zach Wilson back in there and not lose the locker room. They want to make the playoffs. They had to win that game, and they did it in the most unbelievable way possible, in the rain, wind, with a quarterback who didn't rush, or you know, it wasn't the running game, it was the passing game and everyone getting involved, which is what did it. The Jets are taking off here. They're taking flight here, Donnie. Want to be a homer.
Yeah, there you go. Taking flight to Minnesota next week for a massive matchup. But I agree with you completely here. Because, again, I was ready to see the rain move in and be like, hey, you know what, if Mike White ends up, let's just say, 16 of 31, one touchdown, one pick, 17-10 win. Hey, you know, the guy played in the rain. They got the win. That's what you were supposed to do. But dominating in the rain. And also, the wide receivers, there's something about Joe throwing a catchable ball, which helps your wide receivers out, which he did for the entire game yesterday, which was so impressive. Yeah. Now, moving forward, we'll see what we get against elevated competition. But also, from the betting markets, interesting situation yesterday. Trevor Siemian warming up before the game. Hurts his oblique. Oh. Word comes down. He's out for the game. Uh-oh, Nathan Peterman's in, which drew a lot of people to wager on the Jets, only to find themselves with Siemian starting and having the lead in the first half. Like, we were all duped. But my goodness, when that type of information comes down, people bet accordingly. And to see Siemian sort of get under center, like, what's going on? Is the fix in, Joe Ranieri? It wasn't yesterday, though.
Yeah, the public got away with one yesterday because there were a lot of people running to the window once they heard Peterman's name. But, you know, listen, what is the difference between Peterman and Siemian, guys? There really was no difference. If you bet, if you were willing to bet on one, you were betting the other anyway. So there really wasn't. But yet it really, it didn't matter. And we knew it didn't matter rather quickly once we saw how well that offense was in sync. And maybe that's the most impressive thing, Donnie. You're talking about a guy that's been on the bench now for what, the last two months? And he comes in and it's like everybody was on the same page. It felt that was the most on the same page I've seen that Jets offense since the last time he played, in fact.
Yeah, we'll see if they can get completely healthy there and see what they can do. And that'd be a massive win to take down those Minnesota Vikings next week. We got a lot more football to go. And also, I'm going to talk a little Commanders with a late interception. And also, what is up with Russell Wilson? My goodness. And also, if the Denver Broncos were thinking about getting rid of Russell Wilson, how about this, Joe Ranieri? An $82 million cap hit for next year that would be accelerated. Crazy stuff on the NFL field. Stick with us right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
rolling through hour number one here. NFL Talk with Joe and Donnie here on the early line. And how about this one? The Washington Commanders 19, the Atlanta Falcons 13. Some defensive efforts here for the Commanders to steal the victory on a tipped interception in a rainy end zone. 7-5, the Washington Commanders. And how about this for you, Joe Neary? If the season ended today, which it does not, all four teams from the NFC East would be in the playoffs. Break up the best division of football. Big win by Washington, 19-13.
And listen, you had Mariota actually threw again for under, I think, 200 yards in that game.
Yep.
They were very good on the ground. Ben, don't break Commanders defense, which was more than enough to be able to beat them the minute that Mariota had to make a play with his arm. I don't know why Desmond Ridder is not getting a chance to play here. It is obvious, Donnie, and it was obvious weeks ago, that you are capped off with Mariota. You're not going to get any better. His ceiling, we all know what it is. Defenses know what it is. They know what he can and he can't do. There is no room for improvement here with Mariota. Desmond Ridder not working him in some way, shape, or form, unless he is absolutely terrible, Donnie, but I don't see that. I don't know why, you know, you're not trying, especially around the goal line, to work him into plays instead of thinking that Mariota's going to throw you a touchdown, a game-winning touchdown from the 3-4 yard line. Like, what are you? Are you kidding me? Another Falcons defeat that should not have been. Kudos to Taylor Heineke and this Commanders team, Donnie, who is now, 7-5, and very much, if the season ended, I believe, today, they'd be that number 7 team in the playoffs?
Yeah, number 7. By the way, also, playing, we thought one of the Washington Commanders would have been out of it by this time, so maybe some fodder for teams coming up down the line. But they're going to do some damage, whether they get in the playoffs or not. They're going to beat some teams that might be looking to get into the playoffs, particularly the New York Giants, and we'll see how that one holds up. By the way, Brian Robinson Jr., 18 carries for 105 yards, but also caught 2 passes for 20 yards and a touchdown, including bowling over a few guys to get into the end zone, as we saw it on a rainy day there in the nation's capital. Keep moving forward here, the Panthers. And when I say finish off the Broncos 23-10, that season is done. And sometimes we like to watch train wrecks happen because you're sort of waiting for Russell Wilson to make a play, waiting for Russell Wilson to show the old Seattle Seahawks gamesmanship that he had. Who cares if he doesn't have an offensive line? Who cares if a blitz gets through with guys who are unblocked? He always made the right plays. Now looking a lot slower, arm not as effective. They get routed by the Carolina Panthers next year. And as I joked, if you wanted to move on from Russell Wilson, let's just say you get a late round pick. It's not even about that. An $82 million accelerated dead cap for next season. You got to stick with Russell Wilson. And when I say the sky is bright and shiny for next year, my goodness, it seems cloudy in Denver.
We keep telling ourselves, right, it's going to get better in Denver, right?
Yes.
There's just no way Russell Wilson can continue. This offense can't be this bad, right? There's no way. Guess what? Yeah. Just when you think it can't get any worse, yesterday happens and Sam Darnold beats you. All right. Sam Darnold, who hadn't played a game yet all year, manages to come in and beat you and beat a pretty darn good defense. And we started to see it erupting on the sideline yesterday. The defense is done. They are just absolutely done with Russell Wilson. And I can't blame them, Donnie. Much like we just talked about the New York Jets with the locker room turning on Zach Wilson, Russell Wilson is another. You're the highly paid guy in the locker room. Nobody in that locker room makes more money than you, and yet you're not getting your hands dirty. You're not living up to your end of the bargain, and the defense is laying it in there every week. That is bound to be a disaster waiting to happen. But I don't think it's all Russell's fault. I think the coaching hire here was you swung and missed here. I will be shocked if Hackett gets to come back here next year.
Yeah, the thing about firing your head coach is there is no accelerated cap hit the next year, so you can't just fire guys who are making a lot of money. So Nathaniel Hackett probably going to be the odd man out in Denver. And you're right, sometimes you just miss on a quarterback, sometimes you miss on a coach, and maybe you missed on both in Denver. I'll tell you another interesting game yesterday. 28-27 final. The Jacksonville Jaguars take down the Baltimore Ravens. Stop me if you heard this before. double-digit lead, close to a double-digit lead, late Joe and Aaron. Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens blew that game. Two-point conversion dooms them late in that one here. Trevor Lawrence, maybe the game of his pro career, 321 in the air, three touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of 129, outduels Lamar Jackson. It's a bad loss for the Ravens here, but maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars starting to come of age. Only their fourth win of the season, but who knows in that AFC South.
I think yesterday, and we might look back on that game and be like, all right, this was when Trevor Lawrence took that next step because it's been a rocky road. We know he's got the tools, but he hadn't executed yet. He hadn't taken that game-winning drive yet until yesterday, where he was extremely work-like there and like he had done it his entire short career here. And you know, we forget Urban Meyer was his coach last year, guys. It didn't get any more dysfunctional than what he, as his rookie season, had to deal with. So Peterson's come in. He's kind of, you know, instilled. I think it's the right guy at the right time with the right quarterback. We saw that yesterday. And once again, for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, you are exactly what we think you are. You're a team with a offense that a tight end is your best option. That ain't going to get it done in 2022 in this NFL. You can't throw the ball and throw consistently. I don't care how much you run the ball. You're going to have situations like yesterday come up and crush you because right now you're tied with Cincinnati. I don't know anybody that would take the Ravens over Cincinnati in a game right now.
Yeah, it looks like it's all Lamar Jackson or nothing on that football team. Just didn't work out. And even as a late, massive field goal by Tucker was right on point. Like, oh, look at this. He bails him out again. It did come up short. So Superman sometimes, through his kryptonite, you can't just kick 80-yard field goals and always have them go in. So they go down in that football game here. And also, if you're an underbetter, oh, man, 33 points alone in the fourth quarter to push that game over the total. That's a tough beat there for you. How about this one? Another two-point conversion. The Chargers, 25-24 over the Arizona Cardinals, dropping the Cardinals down to 4-8. Question marks about the quarterback. Question marks about the head coach. Even asking Cliff Kingsbury in the postgame press conference, Joe Ranieri, hey, do you think your job is safe and are you worried about it? No, I'm not. Look, you get fired in the NFL, you make a lot of money, I get it, but this is not a good thing. If Arizona doesn't make the playoffs, it looks like they're not going to do that, the head coach is going to be up next. You just signed your quarterback to a massive extension, just like Russell Wilson got in Denver. He's staying, maybe the coach is going, but a big win for the Chargers now, 6-5 on the season.
Yeah, once again, the offense folded when they needed them the most, Donnie, and kudos to Herbert and the Chargers. And listen, everybody in the building, we just talked about Doug Peterson and Jacksonville. What we didn't mention was the fact that the minute they scored that touchdown, there was not going to be an extra point attempt. There was always going to be for the win attempt. And the same thing with the Chargers yesterday. The minute they scored that touchdown, Donnie, you know they ain't playing for overtime. Are you kidding me? You know what's going to happen here with Staley. Yep. And sure enough, they ended up executing. Why? Because the Cardinals... It's rough. They did compete, though, yesterday. They were finally healthy in a lot of spots there. They played good enough to win, Donnie, but ultimately couldn't make the plays down the stretch they needed in order to secure the victory. That's usually what three-win teams do, and I don't see it getting any better for the Cardinals.
Especially when you take a look at Red Hopkins, right, 4-87. You get Marquise Brown back. He had, looks like, 8 targets, 6 catches in that game. And also you have James Conner, 25 carries, 120 yards, and then Kyler Murray with 7-56 and a touchdown. You got to win those football games on your home turf, and they weren't able to get it done. But that's a sign of the times for Arizona. Something is wrong with that franchise. Maybe it's the head coach. Maybe it's the quarterback. Maybe it's just the group of guys they have. But something is going to change as they drop to 1-6 now on the NFL season at home. Home is where you're supposed to take care of business. On the road, you try to fight for it. Not the case for the Arizona Cardinals here. But how about this one? Talk about fighting on the road. Josh Jacobs was out of his mind yesterday for the Vegas Raiders. 40-34, a walk-off run. Geno, even though he throws for 328 and 2 scores, not enough because Josh Jacobs was absolutely unstoppable. And as you talked about at the top of the show, we weren't even sure, Joe, if he was going to play yesterday.
Yeah, no, we weren't. And thank goodness for them that he did. Also, Derek Carr throws for what? Just about 295. He throws three touchdowns. There were some turnovers in this game early by both teams. It was another one of these that zero defense was played. This one went to overtime. They scored 74. I mean, the Packer game, they scored 73 in regulation. But the blueprint was there for both. Only the passing game was phenomenal for the Raiders in this one. He made big throws when he needed to. And, of course, when you have a dude that's running for, what, 229 yards, you're going to have good things happen for you. And it's funny because Seattle scored 34 points here. They had more than enough opportunities to win this game. But they didn't do it because they ran the ball exceptionally well. That's the other thing. Like, you look at Walker, I don't even think he had 30 yards on the day. He had two touchdowns because they had great field position because of turnovers. But it wasn't – he certainly didn't have the kind of day that Jacobs did. So you kind of look at the numbers there and you go, how did Seattle even get 34 points when they couldn't run the ball? Geno kept them in that game longer than they might have should have been in that game. Good win for the Raiders.
Yeah, advantage 49ers now out there in the NFC West. That's a tough loss for the Seattle Seahawks. But again, Seattle Seahawks, after 11 games being 6-5, not too sure that very many people would have had that on their bingo card. But getting back to Josh Jacobs, I always remember, like, you don't want to pay running backs, and I get it. He's going to be a free agent. I'll make a little bit of money here on the open market. But I remember back to the preseason, Joe, when we were taking a look, like, Josh Jacobs was getting like 10 carries in the first quarter of the first preseason game, as if the Raiders were showcasing him, saying, hey, somebody, just give us something to trade for the guy. It's going to be a free agent. Maybe he doesn't fit in our plans here. And also, secondarily to the Raiders, this is why it's so hard to give up on that team, because they show flashes on offense of how dominant they can be. Max Crosby on defense, they got to figure a few things out. But that's why next year, I do think the gang all comes back, Joe.
Yep, I do too. And everyone, is he the right coaching hire? Everybody settled down. They got some issues here. But the one thing that I think we noticed yesterday is that when that offense is clicking and they're all on the same page, they can drop. I mean, Mahomes, you think Mahomes and Kansas City can drop points? This team, and keep in mind, they don't even have their all-star tight end who's already been shelved here with Waller. So this team can score at the best of them. They got some things to figure out on the defensive side of the ball. I think the Raiders will be just fine in the future here.
And also taking a look here at the Seattle Seahawks now dropping to 6-5. Again, if the season ended today, they would be behind the Washington Commanders in that playoff race. So we'll see if they can resurrect the rest of their season. And one thing we do know is Geno Smith's playing some pretty good football here. Maybe that's something can attach themselves to over the next couple years here with an extension. I don't know if they're going to be looking to the draft, but they do have draft capital that they can surround and maybe get some players on that defense. Maybe a reincarnation of the Legion of Boom might be in the cards if they can do a few things right here. But we'll continue to talk NFL action in hour number two. Short segment coming up here, but you know where we're going to go? NCAA football coaches on the move and making big money. Come on back with us right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, quick second here before we hit hour number two. We got some stuff to deal with here. In college football, Joe Ranieri, big coaches on the move, Wisconsin. Bring in Cincinnati's Luke Fickell as head coach, passing over Jim Leonard for the job here in Madison. Quite frankly, if you look for a coach who's supposed to be a coach in Wisconsin, like, Luke Fickell comes up as that picture in the dictionary for me. I love this hire by the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing not to like about him. He's got a Big Ten guy. You know, he comes from Ohio State, right? Takes his job at Cincinnati. Turns that program around, makes him into a national powerhouse, couple of American Athletic Conference titles, the only little guy to make it into the playoffs thus far. There's nothing not to like. Been there, done that, great hire by Wisconsin. Some thought Nebraska was an option, but they went with Matt Rhule. And Jim Leonard is going to have an opportunity to be a head coach someplace here. Not going to be a problem. The resume is good. Kind of you know, they opted to go along with a more established, you know, leader there at Wisconsin. I don't blame them, but Jim Leonard will, he'll land somewhere as a head coach for sure.
By the way, like Jim Leonard going up being a head coach, let's just say he's one of those guys that might be a lifelong defensive coordinator and a really good one for a long time. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance? Yep. Because I didn't read between the tea leaves here. Like, it hurts. Like, he's probably not going to go back to Wisconsin, right? But does he just latch onto a big-time SEC program for, like, head coaching money and say, you know what, this is where I'm going to make my dollars?
You know, I think he ends up going to the what Luke Fickle did. Luke Fickle went from Ohio State, right? He had to replace Urban Meyer when they canned him. Right. Or when he stepped down, whatever it was. And then he took the job at Cincinnati. That's not a bad path to go. Show that you can do the job, have some success. Hey, you know, Mountain West, no problem there. We'll see which direction he wants to go.
And by the way, God love the SEC here. Hugh Freeze looks like he's a possibility to be the coach at Auburn. Yes. Let's remind ourselves, this was a guy that cheated with the best of them and got fired for cheating, but welcomed back into the SEC. My goodness, it's all going down in the early line right here. Stay tuned. Hour number two coming up next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.